residents of Myrtle Beach want to shut down new helicopter tour flights. It's smoke off for Brazil's precision flying team at Dayton this year, and Space Expedition Corporation will sell X-Corp space tourism flights. This is Aero News for Monday, June 11, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A group of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina residents are opposed to new helicopter tours operating out of their backyards, but they've been told there is little they can do about it. The residents who live near the newly constructed heliport say they can see the choppers launching and landing and that the noise makes their homes virtually worthless. But the group has been told by the Horry County Public Safety Committee there is no quick solution to the problem. Officials say Helicopter Adventures went through all the proper channels and received all the proper permits before building their new facility. The company began operating tour rides over the Memorial weekend and says it is operating 20 to 25 flights per day. City council members have passed the buck, saying they were not aware of the development because such permitting is done through the city's planning and zoning department. Residents claim the noise from the operation is in violation of the city's noise ordinance, but officials say their only recourse is a lawsuit in circuit court. For now, the ride operator says it will do everything it can to abate the noise. The Brazilian embassy in Washington, D.C. has notified the organizers of the Vectren Dayton Air Show that its precision flying team will not be able to participate in the July event. Brenda Kerfoot, the airshow general manager, told the Springfield News Sun that the embassy said, quote, due to recent budget constraints, the team would not be able to participate in this year's event, end quote. The Brazilian team, popularly known as Smoke Squadron, first performed on May 14, 1952, over Copacabana Beach, using the North American T-6 Texan. Today, the team flies a fleet of 7 T-27 Super Tucano airplanes. They last performed at the Dayton Air Show in 2009. Now, among the aircraft that are scheduled to appear are a J-3 Piper Cub, a T-6 Texan trainer flown by the Tuskegee Airmen, along with a Coast Guard HH-65 Dolphin SAR helicopter. The Navy's Blue Angels are the show headliners, and the show will be held at Dayton International Airport on July 7th and 8th. The days of commercial suborbital space tourism are drawing slowly but surely nearer. X-Corp Aerospace has named Space Expedition Corporation, SXC, as the new general sales agent for the X-Corp-owned Lynx suborbital vehicle flying from the Mojave Air and Spaceport. As the general sales agent, Space Expedition Corporation will support an existing sales channel of over 100 high-end adventure travel-focused agents and agencies who have been certified as space tourism specialists. Officials say this new agreement will allow X-Corp to maintain their focus on the development of the Lynx series of spaceships, while SXC will focus on ticket sales, training missions, and astronaut relations. The Lynx experience can be booked at a price of a mere $95,000. Currently, over 175 flights have already been sold. About 60 airplanes associated with the Canadian Owners and Pilots Association recently conducted a tour of airports in Ontario and Quebec, evaluating about 30 potential sites for the organization's 2016 annual convention and fly-in. The event is still fairly small. It was first held in 2007, and about 100 airplanes and several hundred visitors attend each year. The Bracebridge Canada newspaper, Cottage Country Now, reports that the 2011 convention in Langley, British Columbia, had as many as 300 people attend its banquet and more than 30 exhibitors in attendance. After a stop at Muskoka Airport, Gravenhurst official Tony Rossi said that one of the reasons Muskoka is being considered is the proximity to a lake, which would allow amphibious aircraft and seaplanes to participate in the event. The convention will be held this year in Ontario in late June. The Canadian Owners and Pilots Association alternates between eastern and western provinces each year. So with 2014 already spoken for, the next available slot for a convention in Ontario would be 2016. The Liberty University School of Aeronautics recently acquired its first aircraft that is 100% owned by the university. The Cessna 172SP G1000 Skyhawk was purchased directly from Cessna Aircraft Company. With the tail number N701LU, it is the first of the 700 series that will be used to identify all planes from the School of Aeronautics. The plane was purchased on May 16th, just as the university's flight team was participating in the National Intercollegiate Flying Association Nationals in Salina, Kansas. Manufactured just a few hours away in Independence, Kansas, the plane was flown to the competition so Liberty students could have the first chance to check it out. Two students had the honor of flying it back to campus. The plane was recently used when it assisted with a search and rescue for a CGS Hawk Arrow 2 experimental aircraft that went down over the weekend in Amherst County, Virginia. School officials say the Cessna purchase is another sign that the aeronautics program is exceeding expectations. In the summer of 2010, there were 90 students on the flight line. In January, there were more than 180. After leasing its aircraft from private owners, Liberty has now decided to pursue ownership of its entire fleet of training aircraft. When Aero News continues, the U.S. Air Force is getting long in the tooth. Efforts are underway to save a bit of aviation history and a rare look inside Kennedy's launch control.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Monday, June 11th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Defense analyst Lauren B. Thompson spoke recently to senior Air Force officers at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, saying the United States Air Force faces a crisis from the aging aircraft in its inventory. He added the Air Force is, quote, facing challenges because it has not succeeded in modernizing its fleet to anywhere near the degree it needs to. So the fleet is getting old, end quote. Thompson is a defense analyst with the Lexington Institute in Arlington, Virginia. The Springfield News-Sun reports that Thompson used the examples of the B-2 and the F-22 aircraft. Both were acquired in much smaller quantities than originally planned. The Air Force had planned to buy 132 B-2s, but ended up with just 21, while the F-22 fleet was pared down to 187 from 750. Air Force Materiel Command spokeswoman Sue Murphy said the average age of the United States Air Force aircraft is 25 years old. The Air Force faces budget cuts next year, along with the other branches of the military, that are expected to mean fewer personnel and aircraft. Still, an AFMC spokesman, Ron Fry, said, quote, despite the challenges we face, today's Air Force is, by any objective standard, the world's best. It is our intent and our obligation to the American people to remain the world's finest Air Force in the decades ahead, end quote. The historic air traffic control tower at Sebring Regional Airport in Sebring, Florida, is badly in need of renovation, and the Sebring Airport Authority is asking the city, the county, and prominent members of the public for letters of support in obtaining a state grant. The tower, 62.8 feet tall, was built in 1941 when the Hendricks Field training base opened. However, the tower was relocated in 2000 to make room for the new airport terminal building. The tower is one of only two of its type built during the Second World War that is still in existence. The renovation cost is expected to be somewhere between $70,000 and $100,000. For the first time in more than 30 years, NASA is allowing Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex guests inside the Launch Control Center, where NASA directors and engineers supervised all of the 152 launches of the Space Shuttle and Apollo programs. The KSC Up-Close Launch Control Center Tour, the second in Kennedy Space Center's special 50th anniversary series of rare access tours, takes visitors inside Firing Room 4, one of the LCC's four firing rooms and the one from which all 21 Space Shuttle launches since 2006 were controlled. Inside Firing Room 4, visitors will pass by the computer consoles at which engineers monitored the computerized launch control system's thousands of system checks every minute leading up to launch. They'll see the main launch countdown clock and many large video monitors on the walls and enter the bubble room with its wall of interior windows through which the Kennedy Space Center management team viewed all of the proceedings. The LCC tour opens June 15th and will run through the end of 2012. With a limited number of daily tours. NASA and the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex recently extended another behind-the-scenes tour through the end of this year. That tour, which began in November, takes visitors inside the 525-foot-tall Vehicle Assembly Building, the massive building adjacent to the LCC, where the Apollo Saturn V rockets and space shuttles were assembled. Well, it's a story we've heard over and over, and someday everyone will think to check the NOTAMs. Another presidential TFR, another bunch of pilots having extended conversations with federal authorities. This time it was President Obama's recent visit to Southern California, which led to the TFR violations and the scrambling of F-16 fighters. The president was in the area late last week for a series of fundraisers, including a $600 per plate dinner at the Regent Beverly Wilshire in L.A. The Los Angeles Times reports that one of the airplanes, a Mooney M-20, touched down at Chino Airport on Thursday about 0600 Pacific Daylight Time. The other two aircraft, a Piper Cherokee and a Cessna 206, were greeted by the fighters between 0900 and 0930 and escorted out of the TFR. None of the aircraft were determined to be a threat to the president. The M-20 pilot apparently was not aware he'd violated the TFR, but was reported to be cooperative with Secret Service agents when he was interviewed, as if he'd be anything but. So when was the last time you heard of a politician delivering on a campaign promise? Well, New Mexico's governor has done just that. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez has cut the state's fleet of airplanes from 8 to 3, with 3 of the aircraft being sold just recently. Martinez made the planes part of her 2010 election campaign. She had promised to sell what she called a luxury jet purchased by Governor Bill Richardson during his administration. The Alamogordo Daily News reports that the luxury jet, a 2005 Cessna Citation Bravo, went to a couple in Alaska for $2.5 million last summer. Thursday, the state announced it would get $575,000 for a 1983 Gulfstream Turbo Commander from a resident of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Television station KOB reports that a 1976 Beach King Air, which had not been flown for 5 years, was sold in April for $245,000, and last fall, a Cessna Skymaster and an Atom A500 were liquidated by the state. Martinez said, quote, "Trimming the number of aircraft to 3 makes more sense than continuing to pay for hangar space and maintenance when our usage has been quite limited," end quote. Well, we hope that you won't let your usage of these Aerocasts become quite limited. You can subscribe to our daily updates on iTunes or at www.aero-news.net. Until next time, I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.